song at the conclusion of our lesson on this morning. If there be one or more who need to respond to the Lord, we would trust that you would do that before it's everlasting and eternally too late. If you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, not a member of his church, the one that you could read about in the New Testament, the Church of Christ, we hope that today will be the day that you will make that decision to obey his will. If you're already a member, but somehow you realize that you're walking contrary to his will, we trust that you'll be encouraged to turn away from it. And if you need to confess of an erring way, we would encourage you to do that. If you just need prayer for any reason, then please let your prayer request be made known. And if you care not to stand and to verbalize your prayer request, we do have prayer request forms that are conveniently located in the pocket of the pew in front of where you're sitting. Please take one of those and fill them out, and they will be collected in another part of our service. They'll be read and they'll be prayed for. Certainly, we want to share your concerns to the Master that he might work mightily in your life or in the life of someone else on your behalf. So again, if you need to respond, we're encouraging you to do that on today. Verses were read from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. We want to use that as a setting for our lesson this morning, and we'll be considering even more passages in Deuteronomy chapter 8 as we try to encourage us on this first Sunday of the year. Again, we are so thankful that God has allowed us to see it, because certainly he didn't have to do it. He didn't owe it to us. So again, we thank him so much for his blessings. Our God, who loves us, he wants the best for us. And even when I make a statement like that, I always remember what Brother Vincent Maynard would always say, that he wants the best for us, but the best can only come when we yield ourselves to his will. That's what I'm going to be encouraging you to do today and throughout the rest of our lives, is to yield ourselves to the will of God. God's special people, his chosen nation, the nation of Israel. Moses addressed them in the book of Deuteronomy. He loved his people, and just like he loved them, he loves us. He longs for his care to be upon us, his protection to be upon us, his guidance to lead us, and his blessings to be enjoyed by us. So as we begin another year by his grace, let us be reminded of some things that he said to Israel, as they were on their way to the promised land to soon begin their conquest of it. They were almost ready to move into that promised land after having traveled some 40 years through the wilderness. They were almost ready to begin their conquest of it. It was a land that had been promised to their fathers, a land that flowed with milk and honey. This was the second generation of people who had left Egyptian bondage some 40 years earlier. We would remember, no doubt, that the first generation had already died out. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, that God was grieved with this generation because they did not obey him. They did not believe in him. And so they fell in the wilderness, the Bible says, because of unbelief. They were not able to enter into this land. And so their second generation, everybody, of course, except Caleb and Joshua, that was above 20 years of age, these were the people that Moses is talking to now. And of course, some of them had died as they came through the wilderness. But it was that second generation. They were about to begin a new life in a new land that would provide them with everything that they needed. Isn't that wonderful? God is good, isn't he? God provides us with everything that we need. This new land would bring with it new experiences as well as new challenges. But they would be assured that God would continue to bless them as he had before if they would remain faithful unto him. So, brothers and sisters, this morning, as we begin a new year with new experiences and with new challenges, it would be great for us to live by these same principles this year that these people were encouraged to follow as long as God allows us to live. There were certain things that the writer, being Moses, of course, wanted them to remember about the Lord. So I'm encouraging us then this morning from the subject, a great way to live this year. A great way to live this year. If you don't like that title, say the best way to live this year. Moses reminded these people of several things about God that God had done for them. I would encourage us then to make the remainder of our days a life of remembrance, always remembering what God has done for us. But the first thing I would remind us and encourage us to remember is found in Deuteronomy chapter 8 in verse number 1. Well, the Bible says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live, multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. The first thing I would encourage us as we begin a new year is to always remember the commandments of God. And when I say remember, I don't mean just to tuck them away in our mental faculties. But I mean, we need to have them there, yes. But we need to have them there and act on them in a positive manner. We need to always remember God's commandments. And I want us to notice that he says, the very first word he said was all. Not some, not few, not a most. But he says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe, shall you do. We need to remember all of God's commandments and obey all of God's commandments, because that is only when God will bless us spiritually and we can be saved. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, speaking concerning the gospel, which is the word of God, which contains the commandments that God has for us to live by. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 1, the Bible says this, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are what? Saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. That's the idea, that we just don't tuck them away in our mental faculties and just leave them there and do nothing about it. But we keep in memory, yes, and we obey them, because that's only the time that we'll be saved. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 89. Though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Being then made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that do what? Obey him. Brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, if we want to go to heaven, we're going to have to obey the Lord. If these children, this generation of people, wanted to be blessed by God in this land, they were going to have to obey his will. They did for a while, just like we do sometimes. But then they went astray. I want to encourage us again to keep in memory, to obey the will of God. No wonder James says in James chapter 1 and verse 22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Sometimes folks say, well, I read my Bible. That's good. Are we obeying what the Bible says? It's good to read it, but you need to obey it. James says, if you just read it, if you just hear it, if you just listen to it, you're deceiving yourself. That's the worst deception there is, self-deception. Because self always says self is right. It's bad to be self-deceived. So he says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Then he goes on down in verse number 25 and says, if we look into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be what? Blessed in his deed. God wanted to bless his people back then. God wants to bless us now. But the blessings come when we are a doer of the work. And we won't be a doer of the work if we are just hearers only. So Moses says, all the commandments which I command you this day, I want you to observe it, but not just observe it. I want you to do it. I want it to become a part of your life. And when you do that, you get into this land, you live, and you multiply, and you possess it. God wants the best for us. But again, the best can only come when we obey him. Jesus said it like this in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? It doesn't do any good for us to say, Lord, Lord, if we're not going to do what he tells us to do. So, if we want to have a great year, and I'm encouraging us to make this a great year, we can only have a great year if we do what God says. Because in the end, that's what's going to count. It's going to count whether we have obeyed the will of God. We're to do again all of his will. Genesis 6 and verse 22, when God finished giving Moses the commandments, the instruction to build the ark, Noah didn't pick out certain of those instructions and say, oh, I'm going to do this, but I don't think I need to do that. The Bible says in Genesis 6 and verse 22, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him to do. So I'm encouraging us to remember God's word, to remember God's commandments, to remember God's will and do it. But I need to say this also. We'll never know God's will unless we study it. So many folks try to live their lives on what they feel God wants, what they think God wants. We need to live our lives on what we know God wants, and that can only come by studying his word. I'm glad you mentioned this morning about our Bible classes. We need to be participants in Bible classes. Here, yes, but also at home. But also we ought to come together every opportunity that we have to study God's word together. And that opportunity is provided at least 3 times a week. We ought to avail ourselves to that. Even avail ourselves to the worship services. That opportunity is provided 2x every week. Not once, but 2x every week. We ought to avail ourselves at every opportunity that we can to come together, to study God's word, and to worship him, and to show him that we appreciate his blessings in our lives. Because God doesn't have to bless us. I've said that already. He does not have to bless us. We ought to be so thankful that he blesses us. So every opportunity we get, we ought to come together, study his word, and worship him, that we can give him that sweet smelling aroma that he desires. We are to do his will. Because again, eternal blessings don't just come automatically. They come when we obey his will. We need to be reminded, as I'm talking about living this year, a year of remembrance, we need to remind ourselves and we need to remind one another from time to time what the will of God is. That's what it's all about, reminding ourselves of the will of God. Well, if you don't think we need to be reminded, I'm going to go along with Peter. Peter was inspired, and Peter was inspired to say, I need to remind you. Listen to what he says to those people that he wrote to in 1 Peter, 2 Peter, chapter 1, and verse number 12. He says, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. And somebody said, well, I've heard that sermon before. I've heard that class before. I've heard that before. Well, Peter says, yeah, you've heard it, but you're going to hear it again. I'm not going to be negligent, he says, to put you in remembrance of these things, though you know them. You already know them, he says. But I'm going to keep on reminding you. Be established in the present truth. The next verse, he says this. Ye think, yea, I think it meet as long as I am alive, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. We need to be stirred up. We need to remember. Again, as Moses writes to these children, to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 8, they knew about the things that he was telling them. He was just reminding them of what God had done for them. Because he's going to say for their own in our lesson this morning, he's going to say, you know how God led you through the wilderness? You know these things. But I want you to remember them. I don't want you to forget them. I want you to keep stirring yourself up by remembering these things. Because you see, there is the possibility we'll forget. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, therefore we ought to be take the more honest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. There's a chance for us to forget. And so we need to be reminded. So yes, remember, the commandments are the will of God. Then Moses went on to say in verse number 2, he says, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Now, you know, again, pressing this point of they knew these things. But you notice what he said again, remember? I want to ask this question. How can you remember something if you didn't know it in the first place? You can't remember something that you never knew. So he says now, I want you to remember. You know how God led you through the wilderness. Now, I want you to remember. Don't forget that, is what he's saying. We need to remember this morning how God has led us, how God has been with us. He says, remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee. These, how long? 40 years in the wilderness. To humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wast keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not do what? Live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. We need to realize and remember that we don't live by bread alone.
We need God's word. Amen. We need God's word. So he said, I want you to remember that. God had brought them through the wilderness of 40 years. And they knew how God had blessed them, how he had fed them with this manna, how he had given them water to drink, how he had kept their clothes fresh, if you will, on them. Their shoes did not wear out. They remembered that. And that could have only happened because of God. If it had not been for God, they would have been consumed out there in that wilderness. So Moses says, I don't want you to forget that. So we need to remember how God led them. They rather needed to remember how God led them. We today need to remember how God has led us to this point. How he has provided for us to this point. How he has cared for us to this point. How he has protected us to this point. How he has blessed us to this point. None of us knew last year this time whether we would be here today. But because of God, we're here. So we need not ever forget that. And again, we don't have to be here. We're here because of God's grace. So let's never forget how God has been with us, how he has led us down through our journey to this present time. You know, there have been situations in our lives, I'm sure, no doubt in all of us, that we've gotten into, or things that have happened, or things that we just missed not happening to us. And the only way it didn't happen to us is because of God. How many times? Maybe not all of us had the experience, but some of us may have had the experience. We just went through a traffic light. And we didn't see it. But because of God, we got through it safely. And we just got through just before the other car came through. That was God, because we so certainly didn't plan it that way. That was God's providence. That was God leading us, God protecting us. So many things, no doubt, have happened in our lives, and we look back on it and we say, the only way I got through that, the only way I was able to handle that was because of God. We should never forget that. So we need to live our lives continuously in remembering how God cares for us and how he leads us and how he protects us. Because again, God is a good God. But then he says in verse number 6 of chapter 8, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. Land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. Thirdly, this morning, let's live a life of remembering God's blessings. He's talking about how God has blessed these people, have given them this good land, a land, as I've said already, where everything was there that they needed. They didn't have to want for a thing. Isn't that amazing? How God takes care of his people. God will take care of us if we do his will, and we won't have to want for anything we need. But we got to do his will. God says, I'm taking you into this land. You'll be able, he says, to do what? Eat bread without scarceness. You ever wanted another piece of bread and wasn't there? God says, I'm going to put you in this land where bread will always be there. Honey, milk will always be there.
Everything you need to sustain your life will be there. I have prepared that for you. So you need to remember God's blessings. We need to remember this morning God's blessings. God has promised us that everything will be there that we need. Not necessarily that we want, but everything will be there that we need when we do his will. We know what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, don't we? Verses 25 through 23, when Jesus was teaching his disciples there not to be anxious for what they were going to wear, what they were going to put on, what they were going to eat. He said, you're acting just like the Gentiles, folks that don't even know me. If we know God, we ought not to be anxious for the things or the necessities of life. And when I say know God, I'm talking about knowing and obeying him. You know, there's a difference in knowing about God and knowing God. So when we obey God, we don't ever have to worry about what we need. Because Jesus has made it so plain that if you seek me first, the kingdom of God and its righteousness first, he says, all these things that you need, they'll be there. This is what God was telling his people. You remember his blessings. I'm putting everything there that you need. And when you do my will, I'll make sure that you have everything that you need. Thank God for providing us for everything that we need. And you know, as Brother Montgomery says many times in the Sunday morning Bible class, that when God says it, it's going to happen. He can't lie because he's a faithful God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, and verse number 23, that we ought to hold fast our profession without wavering. For he that promised is faithful. Who is it that promised? God. And he said, God is faithful. In other words, God is going to keep his word. So he says, if you do what I tell you to do, everything will be there that you need. Thank God for being a faithful God. So as we live our lives, let's live our lives as a life of remembering God's blessings. Because you see, if you don't remember his blessings, you're gonna fall in the trap of thinking that all of that happened because of you. But I got news for us. It didn't happen because of us. It happened because of God. So we need to always remember God's blessings. Then fourthly this morning, look at verse number 11. He says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. He said, don't forget God. Because if you forget God, the next thing you're going to do is stop doing his will. When we forget God, the next thing we're going to do, matter of fact, when we forget him, we already have started not doing his will. So he says, you need to beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Because he says, unless when thou hast eaten and art filled, and has built goodly houses, and dwell therein. And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied. Didn't he say something about multiplying in verse number 1? And all that thou hast is multiplied. Then thy heart, he says, will be what? Lifted up. And thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. When all that happened to you, when you don't have to ask where's the next piece of bread is coming from, when you don't have to want for water, when the oil is there, when everything that you need is on the shelf, all you got to do is take it off. It's in the refrigerator. Just open the refrigerator and take it out. When you got the wherewithal to do whatever you need to do, in that land, when all of that is there, he says, I want you to be on guard, lest when all of that happens, you're going to forget God if you're not on guard. You're going to think again, you're going to be lifted up with pride, and you're going to think that the reason why all that is there is because you got a $100,000 a year job. It's because you get a raise every 6 months. It's because you have this and you have... No, it's because of God. It's because of God. Because if it were not for God, then none of that would be available. You see, when one forgets God, he's going to turn to himself or to some other thing. Again, he's going to say, look at what I've done. Look at me. And the Bible says this in Proverbs 16 and verse 18. The Bible says this, that pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall. We can't think too highly of ourselves, brothers and sisters. But we need to say like the Apostle Paul, that I am what I am by the grace of God. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 10 teaches us that. By the grace of God, he says, I am what I am. It's not because of me. It's not because of you. It's not because of anybody else. It's only because of God. God doesn't want us to forget what he's done for us. He wants us to remember what he's done for us. We need to remember God. And not only remember God, but remember his power. Because if it were not for God, we wouldn't have power to do anything that we did. And this is what he says in the text here. The Bible says this, speaking about King Nebuchadnezzar. He'd had a dream in Daniel chapter 4. He had a dream. He wasn't able to interpret that dream. He saw this tree, and the tree was cut down. And he saw that the branches were carried out into the dew. And of course, he got Daniel to interpret that dream. And the interpretation of that dream was that King Nebuchadnezzar was the tree. That he was going to be cut down. He was going to be deposed, if you will, of the kingdom. He would be brought back later on, of course, once he recognized God. But you know what the Bible says concerning him? Verse number 28 of Daniel chapter 4. The Bible says all this came upon the King Nebuchadnezzar. That is all that Daniel said was going to come upon him. All this came upon the King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon? Listen to him talk now. Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? The Bible goes on and says, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken. The kingdom is departed from thee. They shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. Seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And the reading continues that he was driven out into the field and his nails became like claws, bird claws, feathers. That happened to him. He recognized. He says, yes, you're God. The Bible talks about his understanding came to him. He recognized then that God was God. And he didn't do all of that by himself. So this is what Moses is talking about. Moses is saying, you need to beware that when you get there and everything is all hunky-dory, don't you forget God, because you'll be lifted up with pride and you'll think that you've done it all by yourself. I'm going to tell us, brothers and sisters, whatever accomplishment that we, that God blesses us to have, and I just made the point that when I say God blesses us, whatever accomplishment come upon us, don't think that's because of us. It's because of God. So we need to live our days remembering God and his power. It's not by our power, but it's by his power. As a matter of fact, Moses went on to tell these people in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 18. Notice what it says there. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 18. Look at what it says. He said, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, and it is this day. Let us always remember, it's not by our power, it's by the power of God. God gives us the power. And you know what? There's another man, Brother Malone, that got in trouble one time, and Jesus had to straighten him out. A man by the name of Pilate, when Jesus was standing before him, you know, and Pilate said, I got the power to crucify you. I got the power to let you go. Jesus said, that's found in John chapter 19. Jesus says, you don't have any power except it was given to you from above. So we need to always remember that we don't have any power. If God decides to just take everything, every ounce of ability that we have, every talent away that we have, we couldn't do a thing. But because of God, we are who we are. So we need to live a life of remembering God and his power. And if we don't remember God as being the God, you know what we've just done? We've just committed, guilty of being living in idolatry, because we made ourselves a God. That was one of the first things that God wanted his people to recognize when he gave the Ten Commandments. And I know we're not under the Ten Commandments, but at least that part of it has been brought over into the New Testament. God says in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 1 through 3, look at what he says. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now that's the first generation that he's talking to. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, he enumerates these commandments again. But he's talking to the first generation now. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. When we have another God before him, we're guilty of idolatry. And we'll never get to heaven with idolatry on our account. So we need to always remember God. Remember his blessings. Remember his leadership. Remember all that he's done for us. Because if it were not for him, we wouldn't be here today. So let's make this a great year. Let's do all that we can to show God that we are thankful for his blessings. Let's do all that we can to make sure we obey his will. The wisest thing then that we can do is to remember God and obey his will. Because if we forget him now, he's going to forget us later. We remember him now, he'll remember us later. So let's remember God. And the best way to remember God, again, is to make our whole life a life of remembering God. Because we never know when that last day is. Don't go around through this year and say, well, I'm going to remember God for a year, but you know, I'm going to take off about a month and I ain't going to think anything about God. No, we need to be remembering him each and every day, and doing his will each and every day. And I guarantee you, that'll be a great year. We stand before God and hear him say, well done. That'll be a great saying. to hear him say. But again, he'll never say, well done, until we do well. Doing well means obeying his will. So again, Moses wanted this second generation to remember God and do his will. So when they get in that land, they would be continuously blessed by God. If you're here then this morning, perhaps you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to do that this morning. The Lord came from heaven and he died on the cross. He was buried in the tomb, but on the third day he arose. All of that was so that you and I could have a right to the tree of life.
Yes.
Do you love God for that?
Amen.
Do you love Jesus for that?
Amen.
Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Yes.
So you can show your love for him if you have not obeyed his gospel. By obeying the gospel, by obeying his will, you do it by hearing and believing the gospel, repenting of your past sin, confessing your faith in Jesus Christ, then going down in the water of the grave of baptism for the remission of sin. When you do that, the Lord will add you to his church. Become a member of his church and then continue to obey the will of God. In the end, Jesus says in Revelation 2:10, you can have eternal life. So would you come this morning and be baptized for the remission of your sins? You're already a member of the body of Christ, but somehow you haven't been remembering God the way you should. Your life has not been conducive to the will of God the way it should. Would you turn away from whatever it is that you need to confess? Would you do that this morning? Maybe you just need prayer. Whatever you need, would you come? Come right now.